You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Turn this up in my headphones.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. I just got a little Bisaccia bump myself.
You did?
Because it's double digits. Week 10 is here.
And usually now, the bump would refer to someone having been fired, and that would create the bump in the energy. But in this case, that's...
I had someone dismissed behind the scenes
today, just to feel something. Yeah.
And that made me feel alive.
Power. I'm feeling that bump on a Thursday. I was talking with Mark. It's like I'm an empty husk of a human, I feel like, Tuesday, Wednesday. And by Thursday, we're just warming up. And like I'm feeling alive, feeling energized on a Thursday.
Okay. I love it.
We're all different.
We're all different.
Wednesday, I just kind of sit there and watch the show. And I was like, this is a fun show. This is a funny show. I'm on it.
You know, I found it to be, real liberating creatively watching my favorite band, U2, at the Sphere.
What's the Sphere?
The Sphere is the big circle thing, ball thing in Las Vegas. That's a concert venue. And it made me just realize that, yeah, we are one, but we're not the same. Okay. Now,
worth it.
Probably a different experience than we watched U2 at Qualcomm. A husk of it that looked like it was like nuclear bombed in the late early 90s.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
Am I offending you by critiquing NFL stadium?
You're actually bothering because it's Qualcomm and he's very close to certain corporations, Greg. And
honestly, Greg, what would be offensive about that comment?
I'm just saying let's ease off on the Qualcomm.
But
he was a vice president at Qualcomm in the late 90s.
Some great memories there of Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates.
That place was an epic dump. It is no longer. It's a parking lot.
And it wasn't back in the day. It was a great place. Just when Dan and I were there, compared to the Sphere, I'm saying A to B testing.
We have a lot to get to, but you know what? Part of being the fan experience, and also since I brought up a concert experience, I kind of like going to old dumps because there was a place called the LA Sports Arena downtown. That has also since, I think, been torn down. Do you have
any issues with Greg, with Dan talking
Let's
about
ease
that,
off.
That
let's ease off.
At a certain point, the city decides, and the same thing happened in San Diego, we're not putting any more money into this place. And then the certain venue, they'll still concerts or sports events will be played there. And it's like going into a time machine. Like, I remember going to the old sports arena and going to the concession stand, and there were Zenith TVs from 1986. It was like 2014.
That's all I was saying. I mean, like, you know. Yeah. Head nod to like Pontiac Silverdome, the photos of that place 10 years after.
All right. Before we can get into anything from week 10, Greg, you do have a statement to make right to camera to Qualcomm's executives. Go ahead.
Oh, the way you did the Chargers dirty, the entire city of San Diego, eat it. I mean, you could have kept that team. And if you couldn't keep it, no, I don't know. It's more of the ownership. I don't know.
I thought you were gonna genuflect to the suits of Qualcomm. I thought that was the setup there. All right. Let's get on track here. Is it hot in here? All right. We have a draft to do here. We have another Germany game. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's get going here.
Is that part of our draft?
We'll put it in the back end, and we're all gonna watch it anyway. But maybe we'll just save it for the end. Time now for the first pick presented by DraftKings. And Greg, you do have the first pick today.
I'm excited for it, and I didn't hesitate. I immediately went to 49ers -3, getting 3 points at the Jaguars. Talk about disrespectful. On a team on a 3-game losing streak against a team on a 5-game winning streak. The winning streak team is at home.
Who's being disrespected?
They're the Jaguars. The Jaguars are on a five-game heater. Over-under here is 45. Feels a little high. Feels like it's going to be a defensive game because this Jaguars run defense has been excellent.
I'm sorry. What was the bell for there, Eric? Out of curiosity. I just need to know.
Just a note, you know? Made a good point. Something that we need to get into the show.
I think I'm
curious what the point was. That's all.
The point was how good their run defense is.
Oh,
it's going to be a low scoring
Thank
game.
You.
And you know what? Their defense reminds me a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of those old 49ers defenses.
It's
kind of like a Trent Baalke revenge game.
Give it to him, Eric. There it is.
Remember when everyone getting on Trent Baalke when he was with Urban Meyer?
Old Baalke Bartokomus.
Yeah. And here he is. He's built up a nice team. And My larger point is the big bodies they got. It's just like they're not flashy, but it's Fatu Kasi, and they got Davon Hamilton back, and Roy Robertson Harris, and their edges, even Trayvon Walker, he's a good run defender. Josh Allen, they're just big, they're just massive, and they're going up against a 49ers running attack that, for whatever reason, has skated on all the criticism while Brock Purdy's late interceptions got all the attention. They've stunk, and this team doesn't make any sense when you can't run the ball, and they haven't had Trent Williams. Maybe he's back from this game. Maybe he isn't, but they've been below average in terms of their running, and Christian McCaffrey, since those first hot four or five games, is averaging 3.3 yards per carry, under 50 rushing yards per game over the last month, and if you can't run, you're not the 49ers, and I think it's going to be tough in this game.
I think some of the injuries to San Francisco just changed who they were. I mean, Jalen Moore stepping in for Trent Williams over two games.
It's a big deal.
Allowed 13 pressures in a sec. I think Trent Williams is the one lineman where you can say, if he's not in there, like everything they want to do and who they are, and if you're Brock Purdy, it's going to affect you. And it affected them, obviously, in a negative fashion. Debo Samuel is practicing again. I mean, if they ever got Trent Williams, I think you're back.
Sounds like Debo's
where,
definitely back. Fully
right.
practice.
And I think like all of Brock Purdy's interceptions came with Debo Samuel out of the lineup, Trent Williams out of the lineup. So it's like, we'll see what happens with him health-wise. They also add Chase Young. I think that's a big point here. But you do have, like, Jacksonville's Josh Allen against what could be a Trent Williams-free line. And I think that matters because we've seen a different version of this offense, and the running game is a big part of it last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had conversations about Brandon Ayuk, and, oh, he's already a superstar. And I love Brandon Ayuk, but the offense without Debo Samuel has been different the last few weeks. What he brings to this team when he's healthy, and I think they played this right. He had a hairline fracture in his shoulder, and they gave him 2 weeks off, essentially, and then the bye. So if he comes back and he's himself, that's going to make a big difference, and it's going to help Brock Purdy. And I think this is, because we don't want to just focus on the quarterback, but this is such an important game for Purdy because the criticism started to mount. Now a losing streak is mounted. You get a bye to kind of reset things. If he doesn't play well in this game, the questions begin in earnest about what Kyle Shanahan's going to do at quarterback moving forward. I think if he plays poorly, it becomes a real conversation regarding Sam Darnold. That's my opinion. Now, is he going to stay loyal to Purdy? Maybe, regardless of play. But also, this is a team that is in full Steinbrenner doctrine mode. Anything short of a Super Bowl is considered failure, and they can't simply just ride with a quarterback that's struggling. Now, is he truly struggling?
I don't think so. I think he's playing the exact same as he's played.
The exact same?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I would. Like, I think the first two, three quarters of all these games, he's looked like his turnover luck has gone down, but he was always taking a few extra chances. I think his baseline is much higher than Jimmy G's is or was with the 49ers. I think Shanahan watches this tape and thinks, It's not Purdy. Like, it's a couple plays here or there, but it's everything. It's a running game. I think he's been fine. The problem is they're playing, like, the Jaguars defense might be the most surprising unit in the entire NFL because they made no changes and they went from one of the worst to one of the best. And this is a great, I do love, we're getting to week 10. I love the NFL season because I think the later you get, the more meaning and the more built up. Like, this is a real, how different is 2023 really going to be? Because Darius Williams playing really well at cornerback, making plays. Foye Oluokun, we talked about Josh Allen. Like, they're playing really well. And if Trevor Lawrence and that offense can be just a little more explosive, they've been a little disappointing. They're a little station to station and just holding on till he's a little more explosive against a 49ers defense, which is below average over the last 3 weeks. And they're doing the move where Steve Wilks is now coming down to the sideline. I can't quite figure out why they're not good because they've got all the same players either, but they're giving up way too many big plays. They've been out coached, I think, And, man, this is a great opportunity for Jacksonville to really put a stamp as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think, like, because there's so much focus on, obviously, Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, fantasy assets on that side of the ball, that, like, the fact that Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow went 63 of 77 for 650-plus yards, that they've allowed 850 over the last 2 weeks, that Minnesota thrashed them, that they basically could have squeezed Minnesota out of, you know, any sort of future consideration of who they were. Instead, they steal that game. You have Joe Burrow having this complete and total awakening against this defense. And I think it kind of matters that Steve Wilks is down on the sideline. I think he felt, players felt he was a little removed, a little
come
up
on, Steve. Come on down here.
Well, no, but you want, how
get
does,
back in the mix.
How does Robert Saleh get a job? I mean, I go back to like when we were in London Hey-oh. Watching him pump his fist up and down the sideline, encouraging players. D'Amico Ryan's sort of the same kind of guy. And so it's like, I think it's Kyle Shanahan saying, let's get that back.
I
does it matter? I know it's going to be like, no, it doesn't matter at all, but like, I think it does.
I don't know if...
it's I'm human. Down. I'm just saying
relax.
It's human. Yeah.
I don't know if Steve Wilks has the same kind of charisma visually that D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh have. And I actually think that's right. Part that has helped. That helped both Ryans and Saleh. They looked like vital guys. I don't know if that's Wilks's
The one thing about Wilks, because he was in Cleveland, he's been in Carolina. Like, players are like, he's like a total alpha. Like, they love playing for him. But he's not Robert Saleh. Oh, here we go.
We got some zoo action.
Cincinnati Zoo?
The Cincinnati Zoo. No video this week, guys, so no shots at Greg or anything. But they did want me to let you guys know they will be locking up the 49ers against the Jaguars this week.
All right, and I have some developing news. This is from the ATN Media Insider. This is a source very close to the individual here.
Okay.
Here's a line. After you... get our lock. I would like you to tell Greg I won't be doing any more videos until he stops taking 6-point favorites every week. The guy is the least fun human on the planet.
That's ridiculous.
Whoa.
Like, first of all, he didn't.
Again, I'm not going to reveal who it is. That's of course very close.
It'd be hard to
zoo.
Understand who it could be.
It's funny because there was like multiple weeks in a row where I either took underdogs or low spreads, like lower than his. And
I'm just
he
reporting.
Say anything.
I'm just reporting. There's nothing editorial.
So we've lost like Nick / you know, fill in the blank wrestling brother on a video platform because of the reaction
right.
to Greg.
So there picks. So there is a plus to me taking favorites. So that I'm
opinion.
Now looking for a 6-point favorite so I can get that bald dome off the show.
So there's no I love the bad blood it's building. So there's no ownership to what he's saying. You're saying it's completely false.
It's false. Some weeks he was really mad I took the Seahawks, I think, or the Ravens over the Seahawks, which was a 3 or wasn't that a 4-point spread? It was two good teams. Like, who cares?
Like, counterpoint on to back Greg a little bit. What if Nick's like, you know, got a lot going on, don't feel like raising the production of the show, maybe don't have time to do a video in my car during my lunch break at work and going to blame Greg for it?
Here's what I would say to Nick. Like, worry about your own mediocre record and your lack of a championship and pick winners.
Why are you saying Nick? I didn't say who it from because a true insider does not reveal his source.
True, but I would say just from our angle.
Media insider. Dan, hands it. For the truth, go to the zoo.
You don't need. You don't
wait
need,
for the dolphin. Like, wait for the dolphin.
You don't need a flock of dolphins and a gong to tell you that Nick's been the one who's consistently coming after Greg for 2 years at this point. So.
You don't need like a gong and dolphins for anything really, but if you can get them.
I enjoy it. I'm just saying it didn't inform me.
All right. To,
you know.
That was the Game of the Week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and use code ATN. That's code ATN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Pick number two, the Detroit Lions traveling across the sidewalk to play the Chargers. It is the Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson game.
Weird.
Because
it's at 4:05. Just to see Tony Romo at 4:05 is weird. That's all. Sorry.
It's okay. I mean,
it's weird.
That means Tony Romo will
very
be
weird
in our city.
Is what I'm saying. Weird slate.
He'll be in our city over the weekend.
Maybe we can facilitate something. That would be a good, he'd be a good hang, I feel like.
It's been on the show before. It was one of our better segments.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, what's it like to go to the supermarket with his dad, was it?
He definitely told us the exact same story that he told the seven other people.
My Uncle Rico, when he goes shopping for a ham, well, he talks about DirecTV all the time. It's like, wow, this is a real human conversation we're having.
No guest has ever not been there while being there as much as Tony Romo.
All right, so the Lions at the Chargers. Okay, Chargers. I'm going to tell you something. Sure, you took care of the Bears easily on Sunday Night Football. Then I think you caught the Jets at a good time when they were bottoming out at one of their like classic primetime home meltdowns. Perfect. Good job. You took care of business there, 27-6. Now you got the Lions. And this is going to be different because now you're playing a real team with talent on both sides of the ball. And I think this is one of the best matchups of the week. I think it's one of the reasons it is we're going to start now as we get into these double-digit weeks, we're going to start separating the pretenders from the contenders. And as much as I have a tortured love affair with the Jets, we saw the Jets exposed, I thought, on Monday night. I want to see what the Chargers look like here at home against the Lions. I'm excited to see what the Lions coming off a bye week, what they're doing. I'm excited to see Jahmyr Gibbs again because what we saw against the Raiders was the sign of a breakout week and the idea that this guy could be a real star for their offense. And, Greg, what happens if Jahmyr Gibbs becomes a star for this Lions offense in the second half with everything else they got cooking?
I think they need that. They need a little explosion, but I think they want to be a run-first team. We'll get David Montgomery back this week. Montgomery has looked better with the Lions than I ever expected. It's a great 1-2 punch. I think you'd see Gibbs as a receiver quite a bit this week. I think they'll be picking on Eric Kendricks. When I look at the Chargers' defense, they're playing much better. They're getting pressure, but they're going to be going up against an offensive line that has all their guys in their spots for the first time since week one. So every week you hear the announcer say, this is one of the best offensive lines in the league. It's like, okay, has it been? It's been fine. It really hasn't played that well this year. It's been okay. And now they're all together. And one of their guys, Jonah Jackson, said, "Is like, we're back. We're ready to put on a show." And that's a great matchup against a revived Joey Bosa and Tuli Polotu, who's been playing outstanding, and Mac. Like, this is a real Chargers defense lately, and it feels like it's kind of last chance saloon for Brandon Staley and this defense. Either their defense plays well the next 2 months, he's in year three, or I think there'll be major questions about his program, and he won't get to continue the program. He was a guy who was hired the exact same time, Mark, as Dan Campbell, and these two franchises, I feel like, have gone in very different ways.
Yeah, I think one has a very clear, defined identity that kind of trickles down from who their head coach is, and it's not the Chargers. It's the Lions. And what better time than now if you're Brandon Staley and the defense to show up? You have Bosa looking like the Bosa we expected, and that was a huge performance against the Jets. I love the fact that Montgomery is coming back because I think him and Gibbs together, it's what they want. You don't want one guy. But Gibbs quietly like leads the league in yards per game from scrimmage. Like, I think that's been a little underreported.
Really?
Because he had a bit of a slow start.
I am surprised by that.
And it's like he has exploded, and it's a huge part of their offense. Flip side, I look at the Chargers, and it's like...
As a starter.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying, like, when they've used him the way they want to, and so it's like, that is an emerging role right there. And Sam Laporta is, like, somewhat... I think they nailed their draft, basically. You have to look at it and say, like, that's been a huge success. For me, the focus is, like, this Kellen Moore Chargers offense. If you're, like, Justin Herbert, you basically have one fewer turnover-worthy play that you did all of last season, and just two from the season before. So that's gone up, but the big plays have not. I think they clearly miss Mike Williams. And I don't know. I feel like what happened against the Jets, part of it is the Jets' defense, but it's like, I don't know if I trust this offense down the stretch on a week-to-week basis.
And the Jets have not been completely bulletproof against teams this year in the passing game. We saw the Cowboys light them up, and there feels like there's something off with this offense. I didn't realize, by the way, and I know it's his left hand, and there were some things like, is that injury affecting Herbert, which didn't really make sense because he's a righty, but like he had a broken bone that came through his skin. It was like, in terms of gnarly injuries, it's not quite our producer Eric chopping off half of his own thumb with a serrated blade, but it's like pretty gnarly. So that's obviously something he's been dealing with. But like, just getting off a big play, Keenan Allen making that great catch to help put that game away against the Jets. It's kind of like with the Chiefs, right? Why is it so hard for this team to generate offense with a player like Herbert?
Well, because Keenan Allen is 31, was never a speedster, okay? And he's by far your number one receiver now. Your one explosive guy was Mike Williams. He gone. Your next explosive guy was Joshua Palmer. He gone. I think that's a pretty big loss for him. Maybe they get Jalen Guyton.
Use the first-round pick on the guy.
And then, oh, by the way, I thought this offensive line was going to be great. It's just been mediocre. They got dominated more than the Jets' offensive line got dominated on Monday night. It's been Corey Linsley, their center, going out for, you know, now I'm wondering if is it going to be the season. He had a heart issue. I think one of the biggest injuries to any team all season. They haven't been great. The running game is among the league's worst in terms of success rate. So that's a lot of things
there's
being
no juice.
Taken away. There's no juice. And I think the way to beat the Lions is you attack them deep down the field. Their cornerbacks aren't great on the outside. I think they can give up big plays. I think their pass rush is okay with Aiden Hutchinson, but it's not great. It's not above average as a full team. And so that's the way to attack. The old Herbert would be making big plays you'd be excited about, but I'm not confident. The Lions are favored by 3 in this game, and that feels about right, even on the road.
Yeah, I feel good about it. The Chargers' past defense has been maligned, but they shut down the Jets. That's Zach Wilson, Jared Goff coming off a bye with those receivers. It could be different. All right, Mark.
All right, I'm going to go, let's see here. I'm on the CJ Stroud train. I'm going to go Houston at Cincinnati. I want to just see kind of like, I think he's one of the biggest stories in the entire league, obviously. We talked about him a lot on Wednesday's show as like the overt rookie of the year at this moment. And it's like, I don't know, if we wanted to see him through different eyes, 14 touchdowns and one pick, that's 8 fewer picks than Josh Allen, 7 fewer than Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and 6 fewer than our overly precious Geno Smith. So it's like, this guy has been efficient.
He's been waiting 2 years
But he's been a big play machine. And I think, though, for me, the matchup in this is a red-hot Joe Burrow. I believe in this team, the Bengals, more than any team in the entire conference. And I would be very concerned from a Texans angle about what's happened to their secondary. They are as injured as almost anyone in the AFC right now in terms of a position group. Derek Stingley is in that window, but he's probably not going to play this week. You got guys like someone like Shaq Griffin and Kadar Holman may have to be your cornerbacks. You're missing a ton of people against a high-octane passing offense. I don't like that at all for the Texans, but I do think it could lead to a shootout that could be ultra fun.
Let's start with the Stroud side of it, because watching that game, it was pedestrian in the first half, and then once he started cooking, I mean, for a guy that's in his first year, how many guys throw a better ball than him right now?
You could tell that right away.
In terms
beautiful.
Of anticipation everything.
Placement, yeah. But and I know Tua gets credit for that too, but there just feels like there's something special about his ability to just kind of just drop a ball in a bucket. He would definitely be one of the greatest in the league at that. Some absurd Pro Bowl game, like got to throw it into this target. You could tell he has that accuracy, and when he's locked in, it's special to watch. So very exciting.
I think also it's like he seems to be. There are elements. There's DNA of the type of quarterback that no matter who's around him, he's going to elevate him, because no one before the season was looking at Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins. I mean, Tank Dell was a promising rookie, but that collection, we were saying there might be no one here for him to really thrive. He might not be in a great situation, and all of them are playing really well in this offense, which I think has a lot to do with Bobby Slowick too.
And this isn't that let's go get after Justin Herbert, but you know what Stroud's doing with an average supporting cast is it's notable compared to what Herbert, who was the last crop of like gifted young quarterbacks, is struggling with. I don't think this is it that different, the two groups.
No, I think that the difference or one difference is the scheme that Slowick brought from San Francisco that's so quarterback friendly, and it's really working right off the jump in terms of the pass game. The running game is a hot mess.
Oh yeah.
And it's just as bad as the Chargers running game. It might be worse. I think they lead the league in negative plays. Like, they're not getting anything done on the ground. And look, Stroud's had quiet weeks. The two previous games, They didn't combine for 300 yards passing. So it's not like he hasn't had rookie weeks. The difference between him and most rookies is his rookie weeks are just quiet, but they're not putting his team in a bad position. He's not making big mistakes. He's just not making big plays. I think Nico Collins is a real deal number one. Like, he is a found talent. Tank Dell can get open. He's a 165-pound guy winning on the outside. Those last two catches he had were incredibly talented plays to win the game. As much Stroud should get credit for it, the sideline catch and the touchdown were they're wild. Like, they weren't 100. There are no players like that didn't used to exist. Like, literally, I can't remember an NFL where 160-pound guys are winning on the outside. It never happened. I guess DeSean Jackson is maybe it. I did Mina Kimes' podcast, our friend. She's going to do TNF recap tonight.
Oh, nice. For a home and home.
For Panthers Bears. And she compared Stroud to Burrow. She said these two quarterbacks, if you look at it, kind of have a similar strengths and weaknesses, or strengths for the most part. And when you were saying who would be good in one of those competitions, just putting the ball exactly where you want. Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud.
Do you think it's fair that they're giving the Texans 6.5 points? Is there any disrespect for this rising young club that almost became the team of ATL?
It's in Cincinnati. They're putting it all together. They just did very well. The Bengals defense did against a very similar and probably better offense in San Francisco, where the linebackers are making plays. They're very good going side to side. I feel like this could be a comeback to earth game for the Texans.
Samesies. In fact,
but we might not see Ja'Marr Chase, by the way. We should. That's a big deal here.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Back injury might keep him out, he said.
And wait a second. It's 6.5, and that's within the lock zone. I'm not going to go there. I did promise I was going to lock Cincinnati every time they're in the zone, but I saw that as 7 this morning. So it came down, I guess.
Fluctuating.
I mean, it probably depends where you look and the hour. It probably goes up and down.
It's in the zone.
Empty,
the zone,
huh?
As of this. Although, I think we say if it moves out of the zone, then you're...
Little tiny.
Are you SOL? It moves
mirror.
Out.
The little tiny pocket.
I don't know.
Let me know right now, and I'll make my decision.
I think we've said it. If it moves out, you're out of luck. Although that's usually for like injuries and stuff. Maybe it's the Chase thing that moved it. I have no idea.
All right, I'm gonna ride with Cincinnati, and if they fall out, I'll move. I'll pivot. Lock it up. Always behind the glass.
Nick can give you grief for that. Then.
Yeah, I think you're going to escape it from Nick. I think Nick's got an agenda.
He's also, I'm getting behind his team, Cincinnati. I feel like I'm like the Teflon Dan.
That was a smart move,
Teflon
too.
Teflon Dan.
Let's see. That Gotti doc on Netflix. Check it out. Very good. Very good. All right, Mark, it's snakes to you.
All right, I'm taking my other early game here. The Packers going to Pittsburgh. Why would I pick this?
Wait.
What do you mean, wait? It's my choice.
Hang on a second.
Problem?
Wait, what is the problem?
What time's this game?
This is an early game.
Yeah.
What your first game?
Early.
Texans Bengals. Oh, you're not taking the Browns.
Wait, how are you gonna
point that he's making?
How are you gonna do your job here? What are you gonna do? You're not gonna watch Browns or Ravens?
I watch them all.
Oh boy.
You do watch them all. I don't do that. We don't do that.
I don't want to be the guy sanctity of the Sunday night show. Are you gonna be able to watch your precious Browns against the mighty Ravens in a huge division game and keep an eye on 2 other games?
Yes. I have 10 years of experience of watching 3 games at the same time and like three, you know, like crescendoing, colliding commercial breaks at the same time. So,
you know what? You're a professional. I felt like I needed to point it out.
It's a good point.
It is a point with zero meaning to me, Greg. I will tell you why I'm doing this because.
Because naturally,
he watches all 6 at once anyway, yeah. So I guess it doesn't make a difference. Point. That's not our process. Like, it would hurt my
naturally because it's the same thing when it's the Jets. Like if the Jets, they're going to get at least 60% of the focus, and if it's a big division
that's
game,
not how I've
70%.
He's trying to.
That's
he's
not
trying
how
to
I view.
The,
that's not how I view
game.
The Browns though either. So it's just
I
like,
don't
you know,
buy that.
Oh, okay.
I know. Well, I don't need to convince anyone. It's like this is I confidently want to do this, and there's a reason.
Let's keep an eye on this game.
The reason is that I think that the concept of like Pittsburgh is the super messy team that's like metrically a disaster. They've been outscored and outgained by their opponents like to ridiculous extents. They're one of the greatest home football teams of this century. And it has a lot to do with Mike Tomlin. And I don't need them to be perfect at all. I needed to find my lock this week. And I do those picks every week that you guys are telling me not to do. So I started to mix it up. I was like, how can this be more fun? So I brought in a true out-of-house expert, Spice Rack, to do my picks with me. And we have a
graphic
here. Yeah. Like, and I asked an NFL executive,
Spicy
would you mind,
out of the mist.
Would you mind if I had my friend, you know, who is a true NFL man, like come in and make these picks? And so if you see on the top right corner there, Sess and Spice are now making these NFL
Ooh,
picks.
You took the Packers in a defensive struggle, 13-6.
Yeah, this is to show, well, that was Spicy made that pick. I respect it. But there is already discombobulation.
You're not even in the top five.
I'm locking up the Steelers. I don't care, Greg. I'm locking up the Steelers while he picked them. So
wait, what? Shouldn't that just be Spice Rack then?
We work together on various things. It's a week-to-week
collaboration.
What,
just
so you're saying your picks have no meaning. You're not in the top five, and you're going that. Against that.
You're saying that. I don't need to look at the world the way that you do, Greg.
First of all, I feel like Cessrack would be better than Cesspice.
We can work on it. We can finesse it. It happened on the
also,
fly.
Also, I feel like the pick should sync up, but listen, you can't lose here. So
there are different mediums. Like, this is for a lock situation, so...
You know what? I'm getting out of your business. But this whole game is freaking me out.
This whole segment is you guys trying to change me and alter me.
No, we can't.
It is. Like, do it this way, do that way. It's like, I refuse. I simply refuse.
That's fair.
You're your own man.
No one can change you. And you locking them up almost changes me, but I'm joining you on this lock. I'm not going to move off my original plan. Okay. I think this Steelers offense has been making progress. Been small. But I think Kenny Pickett, since the bye, has looked much better. And by much better, I just mean passable, like not killing them. Just snap by snap, he's been okay. That Titans game, they had their best offensive game of the season. They only had 8 drives, and 4 of them were pretty long drives, including, you know, a good game-winning drive situation. I don't want to hear game-winning drives necessarily brought up as like a great metric because Kenny Pickett has more than virtually anyone else in the NFL since he's joined the NFL. I think he does have more. His numbers in the fourth quarter, according to PFF, are right there with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes as the 3 best quarterbacks in the fourth quarter since he entered the league. I do think they're going to make sure to get George Pickens more involved. I don't buy at all what happened with the Packers last week. That's why I'm locking up the Steelers, is the defense of Pittsburgh, even though they're a little banged up, getting after Jordan Love, and me just not believing that the Packers can put together more than 2 touchdown drives in a game.
Do you think that I know this, the Pickett fourth quarter thing, and it's real. Like, I think we saw that in primetime against the Raiders in the Black Friday game last year, sort of the birth of that. And like, I think there's something about that in a quarterback and an offense, but it also points to the fact that they're such slow starters and they go quarters at a time to start games where it's like, they're not jumping out to leads.
They're not an easy lock. And it's the reason they're only favored by 3 in this game, despite their record being so much better, is like, yeah, there's a reason they've been outgained 8 straight times.
Do you care, Dan, that George Pickens does the thing where, you know, you wipe all Steelers stuff from your social media, you're complaining outright about everything, then like 3 days later it's like, no, everything's fine. Like, well, I think it's just frustration.
You know, that hits on a couple of tropes that crack me up. The wide receiver must be mad at his team every week. You erase the dry board back down to 0.
Yep.
Trope alert. And yes, also clearing your socials like a 14-year-old girl. Just Blex.
Right. It's no different than what a 14-year-old girl or guy would do. But it doesn't.
I think we're showing our age. It's a more accepted thing among the youth. But
I think we're saying it's accepted
it's
among
hard
the
to
youth
understand.
And pro wide receivers.
Hard to understand.
Also, the
and quarterbacks.
I'll just throw it out there. The youth, again, not always right. Like,
no. Oh no.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. I'm with you.
Just chill.
Qualcomm Stadium filled with youth.
Packers fans have been getting after me for being so negative about this team. Then go ahead and win this game.
Are they watching them?
They are, and they have been able to run the ball a little better last week, and
their
run defense, which has been so bad under Joe Barry, has been better the last few weeks. And that's one of the reasons I like Pittsburgh in this game, is their running attack is starting to get going a little bit. They ran the ball last week. So this is a nice little test of Warren and Harris versus this run defense. Get it done, Steelers.
For the record, the Steelers were also my lock before I saw the Cincinnati line move. So if
if
that line does go, I will be joining you.
Well, don't that the one time we did that this year is my only loss of the year,
and that's a win.
But it's not a win for you.
It is though.
The only when you're down a few, you need to catch up. So.
Yeah, but that's
needs
your
to do is win.
Staying patient.
The lock-off thing doesn't even make sense if you think about it. It's just for the show,
right? And like you're a man, Mark, that you go by your own code, even from the outside. Sometimes it's confusing. I don't really care if I win. I just want you to lose.
Right, but I don't believe that about the win because I remember that year. That year you took it.
What?
It was exciting. It was an exciting time.
But no, what was exciting was that you lost.
Yes.
And that me winning was great.
Yes.
But it was that you lost that I was celebrating truly. You're good. You're like the Patriots of the 2000s. The team that they love to hate. Peggy. Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. See, I don't want to relitigate it again, Mark, but that absurd draft pick now put me in terms of like the ethics of the draft. Of course I should be taking Browns at Ravens.
You should.
That's a great game.
But you should.
That's an AFC North showdown. But I'm not going to do that.
Right, but I'm not. I'm going to go to my late game with my next go around. So I don't. You're just going to be giving it to Greg. A lot of complexities to the, like why.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Like it's called a free will society, and I've exercised my free will.
What's your angle on this one?
I don't know. I just love that it's.
What's Kaiser Soze doing?
You scrambled over.
Well, you're breaking out of your limp. What's going on? Coffee cups dropping to the floor. The linoleum.
I don't know.
Should I do it? Should I take it then?
Yeah.
Go for it.
No.
Great game.
No, he's up to something.
It's also the best early game left, and you don't have an early game. Actually, it does make sense for the sake of the show. You should take it.
If this were an actual draft, you're like passing on what you consider to be a great player because you want me to get the great player.
I think that's good.
Right?
I think that's good. You should just take it.
What are you up to? I will take the Browns at the Ravens. Look at Mark.
Stop.
Yes, the Cleveland Browns. Big gut check time for the Cleveland Browns because the last time these two teams faced off, what happened, Mark?
Well, the Browns had a, you know, lowly drafted rookie in there who was overwhelmed, and I thought it showed the first signs of an otherwise really good Browns defense of what Baltimore did to them. On the ground, they gashed them. Big plays all over the place. Cleveland looked totally susceptible. They got nothing on offense, so it's maybe a little different than this time around. But it was the beginning, I think, Baltimore turning the corner from like a bit of a funky operation to something very dangerous.
Final score, 28-3. The next week, actually, though, Mark, the Baltimore lost. But after that, lost to Pittsburgh. We were in London. We saw them against Tennessee. And it wasn't an overwhelming effort, but it was like a get-the-job-done win.
Dominated, really. Yeah.
Right, everything but the score. But that game was tight going into the fourth quarter, okay? But since, really, the fourth quarter of that game, which they did dominate the fourth against the Titans and won by 8 points, 38-6 over the Lions, 31-24 over the Cardinals, 37-3 over the Seahawks. So you have a Ravens team that is rightfully being celebrated as one of the true Titans of the league, and it is a great test, Mark. Even though you won't be watching it too closely, of the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson. One of the biggest Browns games, I would say, Greg, since we've been doing this podcast. Just surprising that Mark won't be watching it very closely. But yes, Deshaun Watson and the Browns against the mighty Ravens, the AFC North potentially hanging in the balance.
I think it's a huge game for the Deshaun Watson project. I mean, I don't know why you're brought on this team if it's not to go beat Baltimore in a game like this, when you've got a superstar defense, you got just enough on offense. When they played last time, Dorian Thompson-Robinson had an interception that set the Baltimore Ravens up at the Cleveland 10. He had a second pick that set them up at the Cleveland 38 and an interception to end the game. If you're Deshaun Watson and that didn't happen, you're in that game in a different way than you would be this time. I think that this Cleveland defense is probably pretty hell-bent under Jim Schwartz to have a different experience. There's one little fly in the ointment for me, though. Jed Wills, your left tackle, on IR. Jack Conklin has been off the field for a long time. So you've got backup right and left tackles against a ferocious Ravens
defense. Well, you might even have a backup to a backup because DeJuan Jones, who's played well, the rookie, may not play either. And that's very concerning considering how well Jadeveon Clowney is playing. I don't know if it's a revenge game, but
he needs revenge on the team that he walked away from.
How about they have revenge on how it went. Jadeveon Clowney's having a massive season. He's not going to finish plays like other.
The Clowney bump. He must be always talked about 27% higher than his actual production.
He has as many pressures.
Massive.
Literally as Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. So I don't think we have talked about him as much in terms of the bump, in terms of that. Now, he doesn't finish plays, but he's a good run stopper. And the important thing is he's on this defense, which knows how to use guys. Kyle Van Noy. Dafe Owe has come back the last couple weeks, and he's been rushing the passer well. So how does Watson handle that sort of pressure? Because last week, I thought he made progress. His time to throw was as fast as it's been all season. His average depth of target was as low as it's been all season. And I think they started coaching him up in a way. I was talking with Siciliano about this too. It's like kind of started looking like the Baker Mayfield offense where it's like first read. And if you don't have the first read, go make a play. Because we had this whole idea that they were going to do shotgun and the old Stefanski offense. Like Deshaun Watson was not going through his reads last week. He had some beautiful deep balls, which was nice to see. His arm is back, and that's what he does best. A couple complete, couple incomplete, but they all looked good. And otherwise, it was just kind of like throw it to your first read or just go try to make a play. And maybe I'm galaxy braining it, but maybe that's not a bad approach against this Ravens defense, which is so good at outthinking the opponent and making quarterbacks hold the ball while they're trying to figure out what the heck just happened because they changed all their coverages post-snap. I don't think the Browns are necessarily getting into on all that. They're going to do what they do. They'll throw a couple bombs. They'll need to run the ball better than they have been, though, because the Browns' offensive line has been a little disappointing this year. I know they're banged up, but they've just been kind of mediocre. You think they're going to be a great offensive line, and they haven't been. They've been fine, and this is a very tough matchup.
We're here, by the way.
Yeah.
We're here. You know we're here? You know how we're here? You know what we're here for?
What?
No more excuses for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think that's
we're here.
I could have said that before, but we're here now.
The excuse will be as like we just got back. They're playing the number one defense.
Nope.
This game's going to be like 13-10. I think 6 points is too much. They're 6-point favorites, by the way.
He's not on the injury report, but he's still telling people that he's dealing with a shoulder injury. I'm just saying there seems to be something going on where it's like one of the weirder injuries.
Threw the ball well last week, though.
He's playing. He's not on the injury report. He threw the ball deep last week. He's got a big-time matchup against the division rival where the Cleveland Browns, who made him the highest-paid quarterback ever in terms of guaranteed money, this is why he was brought here.
Absolutely.
Now, do they have to win the game for Watson to be successful on a certain level? No, like he could play really well, like we've talked about, and maybe Justin Tucker drills a 58-yarder at the gun, but he cannot be 16 of 29 for 148 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions. He needs to play like a star because that's what they signed.
Yeah, and beyond, I mean, that's true for his own performance, but losing would be relatively fatal in a white-hot division because it moves the Ravens to 8-2. The Browns will be 5-4, having been swept by both.
Oh, no, that's also over. But the playoffs are still alive and well for the Browns.
It's the test for the Browns D, too, because the Browns D needs to be special for them to be a real factor in the playoffs, and they're going to need to keep this low score, and they need to keep it 17-16. My last thing is just I think Keaton Mitchell is real. I think he's going to be a big-time story down the stretch. I know it was only like 8 or 9 carries, but man, his vision and the way he could move laterally and everything. I think he's real.
I was thinking the same thing. We're talking about Gibbs. What if Gibbs becomes a star in the second half? What if that guy turns into something special? The Ravens get even scarier. They're laying 6 points of wood, so the desert doesn't believe the Browns have it in them, but we will see. Greg, 2 picks.
Was tempted to take that one as a lock. Maybe Nick is in my head. But I don't know. There's something about this Browns defense. When it's a division game, it was blowout last time. What am I taking here? I haven't told our
I love that we get to hear producers. Greg's lock and the 6 teams that he almost locked.
Let's go Saints, 3-point favorites at the Vikings.
I was going to take this until the Browns-Raven mind F by Mark.
Yeah, and this is a fun little ball game here. I really like this slate of games, by the way, especially early. It turned out to be, I think, a good little Sunday draft. Maybe it's because the primetime games are so bad that the good games are all at 1 p.m. There's like four good games. You look at this Vikings team and you do wonder, okay, Joshua Dobbs is going to get more involved in the offense. Is there a little bit of a come down effect against a more veteran defense that is playing better? You probably don't have KJ Osborne. You probably don't have, we know they don't have Cam Akers. What is this sound?
What do you mean? This is the team around the NFL.
That's right. And then you get the high of team of around the NFL during the week. That's a big come down. Can you keep that like that level?
Does anyone inside the Vikings organization know that we pulled this very special lever in their favor?
That is not to put pressure on Eric and Big Funk behind the glass, but you know how like with Good Morning Football with Kyle's angry runs?
Yeah.
You know, they have a t-shirt, they have a scepter that they send. I think it's on the producers behind the glass to spend, you know, a lot of money. Maybe we could expense it, maybe we can't. To build up something that we could ship to teams. How about that, Eric? You open to spending out of your own pocket to get this off the ground?
I don't know about my own pocket, but you have seen my Photoshop ability, so I can probably put something together. I don't know if it's shirt-worthy, but we can definitely ship something
the Vikings,
somewhere.
What would happen if we shipped 320 t-shirts to the organization, assuming that they would hand them
out? Maybe just send some tweets.
It's probably like one Vikings way or something out in
DMs. Yeah.
I like the old kind of sending something physical, you know?
I do too.
I'll see what I can put together.
Everything's in the cloud these days.
Right.
What if we send
something they can pose
something
with and hold tangible, a real object?
I'll think tank this. I'll figure something
out. All right. Thank you, Eric.
KOC, I feel like, is getting a lot of love, and he should. I think he outcoached Kyle Shanahan, no doubt. One of the best moments I've
got is ace.
KOC's career was the way that their game plan there, where they're calling everything at the line of scrimmage, and then to follow that up with a couple weeks that he's had. It's been pretty incredible. He's going up against another second year coach here in Dennis Allen, and like, there's no excuses for the Saints. They are maybe the healthiest team in the NFL. They have literally, I think, every single starter that they had coming into the season. They're all fine, and it's pretty incredible at this point of the year against a Vikings team that has lost so much. Like, we don't know if Darisaw is going to be there, their left tackle, either this week, and I am a little worried about a come down game for our team.
I think that's fair, because I think the Saints, you know, one thing that's carried over year after year is sort of their nasty secondary play. Their fifth EPA against the pass. I don't love that for what's happening with the Vikings right now. And you Josh Dobbs, it's
a lot
like,
of interceptions.
They've forced six turnovers over the past 2 weeks. So it's like, I kind of feel like the Saints are this middle of the road team, but they've been a little bit better on offense. Derek Carr has been healthier. It's kind of like the whole experience. You kind of can project them and see them as just winning that division. I do love this one little Josh Dobbs thing that like days before he was shipped to Minnesota, he had been living out of like a guy's empty apartment type thing or housing situation in Arizona. And like days before he got traded, all his furniture finally was delivered to Arizona and dropped off in his place, and then bang, you're out. Yeah, that's tough. And to get through all that and still do what he did.
What's up, y'all? Josh Dobbs,
the number one quarterback in rushing
personal
value.
Situation.
Number one in rushing value this year, according to QBR. Josh freaking Dobbs.
Let's see. That's why this is the team of around the NFL. There's a little special sprinkle on this team. There's a path to the playoffs. There's a path. More importantly, for what we're doing here, there's a path to just something inspired happening. And can't you just see those Minnesota fans falling for this team with Dobbs leading the way and it becoming a story in the second half? Don't want to jinx it, but you can kind of see it. You know,
I can, and I can see them losing this week and that's still all happening. So I don't think they have to win this one.
Like it. Yeah, and the Saints are a hard team to figure out week to week.
They're seeming like they're putting it together. Cars playing better.
I like when the offense is finding itself a little bit, and the defense does have that ability to turn the ball over, and that certainly worked against the Bears, and it could work against Minnesota. All right,
I'm up again. Yep. I'm going to take the Falcons 1.5-point favorites. That's it in Arizona. That's the Kyler Murray effect in terms of that line. If that was Clayton Toon, it'd be five or something.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Kyler Murray's been gone so long, and some of the final moments he had with Cliff Kingsbury were so uninspiring that it's easy to forget what a talented quarterback he is. That various points in his career, like, he's playing like a top five quarterback. if I'm starting a team today, he still would be in my top, you know, 10, top 10 or 12, certainly. And he's going up, I think, against a defense in his first matchup that gives up a lot of big plays. As much as they've improved on balance, they're not really very good stopping opposing passing games. And so you might get Michael Wilson back this week, which is important for Murray. He said he's really getting more comfortable in this offense. The puff pieces, and I don't really buy this, but you know, our guy Rap Sheet, you know, did put it out there too. Is like he's been a little more on top of things. I think maybe the injury plus everything that happened last year with him maybe was a bit of a career wake up call. And so I think the Cardinals are going to be a lot more watchable, and they're going up against a team that to me are like the anti Falcons. They'll find a way to blow things, and they're worse than the sum of their parts. And so I give Arizona a little bit of a chance in this game.
They've been better with Heinicke in terms of, you know, points per game. It's been an uptick. I kind of just glad they made that change. Obviously, we all are. I mean, I guess the Cardinals will be more watchable. Like, you know, not to continue to talk about Dobbs, but he wasn't the problem there. He True. Was pretty watchable.
Fair point. And they were watchable before.
Yeah, I think they've sort of been the same team every year. Kind of give you a fight and then find a way to completely have the floor fall out before the fourth quarter strikes 11 o'clock, 59 minutes, and right before midnight. That's how clocks work. But I would say this. Like, I think it's an interesting experiment to see what Kyler Murray looks like right out of the gate, because hasn't played since week 13 of last year. It's a new scheme. It's not going back into something he knows. And I guess they handled this pretty wisely, I thought. They kind of kept him in that practice window for the full amount of time. He's been doing, you know, starting snaps. I guess he's been studying the scheme the entire situation. But Kyler Murray is different for me than other quarterbacks. It's like, I want to see how comfortable he looks out of the gate. Because even though he was in that offense for years, how often did he look completely uncomfortable with some talent around him a year ago? It's like, I think there are question marks still draping this quarterback.
Yeah, and their offense, and of course what happened with the Browns where they have 56 yards of offense or whatever, that's going to affect this data a little bit. But still, it holds. Like, even with Dobbs, 31st in passing yards per game, 31st in yards per attempt, 24th in touchdown INT ratio, only 8 touchdown passes all year. This is not a great passing offense. It doesn't have a ton of weapons. Kyler Murray has a reconstructed knee that he's just going to now take out of the shop. So there's going to be some, obviously it's going to be a little tentative, you would think, from that standpoint. The idea that they're going to now hit the ground running and improve, I'm not sold on that. In fact, it could take weeks or not even the rest of the season, and it might not get much better. So I'm not sold on Kyler riding this team back to respectability, but they'll be more watchable. You know, like I'll enjoy just seeing them back on the field, and it's a very important window for Arizona that opens here now, because they want to take a look at him and see what he is before they have to make a very big decision after the year.
And it's a season-changing week for the Falcons as well, because Arthur Smith said, we're going to make our quarterback decision at the bye after this week. And it's kind of convenient. It's like, oh, we're playing the worst defense in the league, and then we're going to make our quarterback decision during the bye week. And he said, he's like, we're not going to be going back and forth every week. We're not going to keep talking about this every week. We're going to make a decision during the bye, and that's the quarterback we're sticking with. Now, when I hear that, I wonder if this whole time he was thinking, I'm going to go back to Ritter.
Yeah, I don't believe him at all, by the way.
I don't really know. I don't believe that's a fair point, that we shouldn't believe him with anything. They haven't been marrying up the pass and the run very well offensively. Like, they just feel like, okay, let's pick a play for Jonnu. Let's pick a play for Bijan here. And they're just like throwing plays together, and they're very discombobulated. They're a tough watch right now. One of the most disappointing teams for me. Even though they're 4-5, I feel like they're kind of like the NFC Raiders, where they should not be 4-5.
Please do not let that team in the playoffs. I am up next, and you kind of got me, Greggy, because I wanted to take New Orleans, Minnesota. I wanted to take Atlanta, Arizona. So instead, I have to pivot to a rocking chair game. So I'm going to grab Giants at Cowboys, not because I'm excited to watch Tommy DeVito make his first NFL start, or because I love blowouts, but you know, I need to balance out my late schedule. So here we go. I'll knock this out. So I don't really know what to tell you other than the Giants are having one of their worst seasons in a very long time. And this is a perfect, the Giants are so helpless right now that I can't even tell you that this is a trap game for the Cowboys. I think this is a unlosable game for the Cowboys. You know who else thinks that? The desert, where the spread is up to 16.5 points as of this taping.
Like a college spread. Is that, has there been one that ridiculous this season?
It's got it. If it's not the highest, it's very close. So this is the, I would say the only, if in terms of drama, if you are, as I am, Greg, if you have players in fantasy that are on the Cowboys, and you are, you should be licking your chops a little bit, but also realize all those guys might be out by the third quarter because this game is going to be non-competitive by halftime unless the Cowboys really pull like a week three, like against the Cardinals, and they kind of no-show, but I don't think so. I think this is a blowout. This could be, quite frankly, this could be a 40-burger.
I mean, it was the first time, you know, in New York.
Double 40 burgers.
Dallas has been, you know, some, for some teams, like home road splits seem to be a mishmash and have no meaning. But Dallas, like, legitimately is one of these teams that comes home and, like, turns it on and dominates. And I kind of think that you look back to week one, it feels like a million years ago. But they beat the Giants, and it wasn't even, like, a huge offensive performance. It was their defense scoring points and wreaking havoc. It was their offense and their special teams. It was, like, a complete team effort. And we've seen Dallas do that three or four times, and nothing about the Giants tells me this is a different team. In fact, if anything, the line, the offensive line injury bug has been among the worst position group strikes that any team have had. I mean, it's like every week someone else is hurt. It's a starter. It's a backup. Starter's back out. I don't like this at all for them. The only thing I point to is that the Giants are so weird that we're not that far removed from them allowing only 14 points to the Bills and 7 to a productive Commanders offense. I don't think
I can't go there on this.
I know that's fine. Like I would, like logic would say there's no reason to, except weird things happen. They're division opponents. I kind of feel like if you're Daboll and the rest of the crew, I'm not saying that they're like they're on the hot seat because a lot's gone wrong for them, but this is a kind of campaign that if it continues for another 7 or 8 games, you could make a change. It's like you got to show up in these games in your own division. Will they? Who knows?
It's going to be DeVito. He's going to be the 10th rookie to start. That's a NFL record. I didn't think he was as bad in that Raiders game as I was expecting after hearing about it. Like the two picks, one was a drop and the other one was a deep shot, which came up short, but wasn't like a crazy bad play. The rest of the game, he just looked like a normal bad backup. But a normal bad backup against the Dak Prescott, like level quarterback in this defense, it's going to very likely fall apart quickly because of what's in front of him.
And since I directly challenged CeeDee Lamb, he has set new career highs in receiving yards in each of the last 2 weeks. 12 for 158 and 2 touchdowns against the Rams, 11 for 191.
That's the kind of scenario where you need to be sending your version of a scepter to the player and you're getting the picture, Eric, and all that. But you challenged him and look what happened.
Cowboys headquarters, can we send some type of physical relic?
Okay. Yeah.
I think your problem, though, this week, it's like it's going to be like, let's get Cooks and Gallup and let's get everyone else involved.
That's kind of my
point. It's like that week where like we can just afford to mess around a little bit.
My son Jack's having a big season in soccer. He has 17 goals and he's coming off back-to-back hat tricks. I'm very proud of him because it's fun to see him play with passion, which he doesn't quite have in Little League. His coach has to tell him in the second half of these games, hey, you're done scoring. Let's get some assists.
Yeah.
Just said, there's a couple kids on the team that haven't scored a goal yet this season. That's what McCarthy, the Texas Coast offense could be in that mode against.
What's his response to that, though? Because a child would be like, I typically would want to just keep scoring.
I raise my children well. He understands. He understands. He's a good teammate.
Guys, before we move on, you mentioned
a gifted striker, a gifted young striker.
You mentioned the lopsided spread to get going here.
Wait, you don't want to talk about my son's soccer season?
I just wanted to get in before we moved along.
Give the people what they want.
This
here.
Is pretty notable. So a couple days ago, they were 15 and a half
goals.
They were 15.5 point favorites. So they're getting bet up still.
Yeah.
So people are still betting on the Cowboys, moving the number that way. And they would be the largest spread this season. They were actually already set the largest spread with the 15-point. When they were 15-point dogs to the Bills in week 6.
The Giants.
So, the Giants, yes.
But the Cowboys are also the biggest favorites to lose a game this year, and that was against the Cardinals.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that Giants-Bills game, it came down to an untimed down.
Hey, Roberts, give yourself a ding. Give yourself a ding, because you deserve it.
Baby one.
There it is. There
we go. A lot of buttons back here, guys.
All right, Mark, you're up.
I'll go Commanders at Seahawks. Commanders getting 6 points in this. Feels completely fair on the road. I think so. I mean, I don't know. Like, Seattle, to me, has probably got a feeling a little angry about what's happened recently. I guess for me, it kind of just boils down to the sloppy nature of Seattle over since week five, nine giveaways. They only had one in the first four games of the season. And, you know, it's not just a Geno thing. It's environmental, but Geno has four touchdowns and six picks over his last four games. I guess it's like, I know that we've talked about this as coming to some degree from an element of daring do. He's got confidence in his passes. Like, I think he does some stuff every game that's pretty beautiful, but you can't have him doing this. And I thought that last week was the first week where Pete Carroll, who's been his ultra fan, had a little, there's a little bit of frustration and a little bit of like, yeah, this just can't happen. There's no, and you got Drew Lock behind you, so nothing's going to change. But like, the Geno Smith experience is a couple notches down from where we were before.
Well, their offensive line has skated a little bit. I think Geno's helped that by getting rid of the ball quicker with all their injuries. They've been as injured as any, as like the Giants basically at parts of the year. And last week that really came home to roost. They were dominated so much on both sides, but it was crazy how little their defensive line also made an impact. And if you're below average on both lines, like that's the number one thing to look for of like, who's going to be a little surprising, who's going to go win the Super Bowl, who has like good lines on both sides. I think the Seahawks are below average on both sides. That's a tough road to hoe. This is a nice week that for them that the Commanders traded their edge rushers, because that's what I worry about every week is their tackles in Seattle holding up against edge rushers, and the Commanders don't have any, but they have two pretty good guys inside. I think the Commanders have, I think 6 points is a lot, because I just think the Commanders are a better team than that. Like, I think, I thought it was crazy they were underdogs against the Patriots. They're a better team. And these two teams don't seem that far apart to me, Commanders and Seahawks. I think Seahawks are better. They're more talented offensively, but like, they're,
I mean, Seattle was like, you know, winning the division 7 days ago.
Sure. But were you watching them on a week to week basis? And they have the ingredients to play better. And I think the defense certainly could cause a bunch of turnovers against Howell, but Howell's playing well.
Well, I think Howell also, like, the, you know, some of the pressure, some of the sacks has gone down last couple of weeks. If that's a trend, that's good for him. I kind of feel like he's the quarterback that he will keep you in every game. I mean, did some things against New England that, like, we talked about, just like weird unscripted stuff where he sees the field in a way where it's like, I think that's a headache for defenses.
He had some insane throws in that game. Like, Howell's kind of doing it. He's doing it. It's a fun game.
Geno's not doing it, Greggy.
No.
In his last 14 games, dating back to last year, because he kind of was falling off a little bit at the end of last year.
Yeah.
13 interceptions. They have averaged 15 points per game since week five. It's 29th in the league. The offense has been not good, and they need to change that if they are to be seriously taken seriously in the NFC West. So, yeah.
It's a humbling game for them. I will be curious to see the response.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Carroll knows how to do this. He knows how to get these teams back on track after something like a blowout loss that they suffered. So it wouldn't surprise me. And Washington's another team that's hard for me to figure out. And we'll see how, like you said, he's only been sacked four times in the last 2 weeks. He was getting sacked every week, four times a game at least before that. So if they can protect Howell, he can make the throws. And this game gets very uncomfortable for Seattle. I guess it comes down to if the Seahawks pass rush with Leonard Williams now there, if they can get home, that could be the difference maker in this game.
Yeah, Boye Mafe is playing really well. Like, they have good individual performances, but man, the tackling, that's why I pushed back. Like, look, Geno's not playing great, but I guess it's where are we placing him? To me, the idea was he's
well, don't move the goalposts here.
No,
Greg.
I'm not. I'm saying, like, if he's a quarterback that I think is better than the Dalton line, but maybe you guys think is around the Dalton line, like, isn't this what happens? There's ups, there's downs, there's when you're playing a great defense like Baltimore, it falls apart a little. But I was more concerned as someone who's rooting for the Seahawks every week, is like, everyone on that team looked terrible.
I'm just saying,
like, Devin Witherspoon had a terrible game.
You kind of had Geno comfortably in the top 10 of the QB index, you know, going into October, as I recall. And now all of a sudden he's really taken a step back here.
Yeah.
And they have not been able to deal with that. That's a tough situation.
And also, like, I think everyone agrees that the Geno Smith, like, last, you know, 15, 16 months is a good story, but like, I have less and less confidence that they're going to go on the road and win playoff games with him at all, unless he's perfect. And now you get the imperfect version. All right,
Mark.
Titans at Tampa Bay.
That's good. It's a good one this late in the draft. I, I feel like I've been watching a lot of Baker on Sundays. Just need a little bit of a break, although he's been kind of fun to watch.
Mark's that
you get.
He's been less fun, and Baker would not be the reason I'm picking this. I think the whole Bucks offense has been less enjoyable than that first 4 weeks. I mean, they're 0-4 since their week 5 bye, so that tells you a lot about Tampa Bay and I think who they really are. This is an interesting matchup for Levis, who is so watchable. It's like, yes, I'm like on these games, I'm like, I want to pick one or two players. They could just totally tractor beam me to a game, and that's what's happening here. The Bucks are pretty banged up in the secondary. Jamal Dean, Carlton Davis, the backup Josh Hayes. Like, these guys are all dealing with injuries. And I feel like Tennessee's passing game is completely different with Will Levis throwing the ball the way he does. If you're watching on the YouTube, it's like, this guy just guns it out. And I kind of love that the Titans out of the gate. I think there was a wait-and-see approach. He didn't win the job in camp. He wasn't talked about as the clear backup through most of the season. I don't know what they were seeing in practice, but what we're seeing in games is the kind of person that can transform an offense. And the Bucks are 30th in EPA against the pass. They already banged up already. I kind of like it as an idea for Tennessee to continue to change who we think they are on offense, especially. They're getting a point in this game.
I can't believe they're 30th against the pass. It just shows, even though I don't think they've changed during this four-game losing streak. They've been in most of these games, and they were just like winning close games and against mediocre teams, and now they're losing close games against mediocre teams. It's just like they're fine. They're a generic. They're about the most fine team in the NFL. Everything's fine. Baker is a nice story. I think Dave Canales, their offensive coordinator, if this coaching staff gets fired, is going to get another good coordinator job, because this is the best I've ever seen Baker play. I think he's really a different player. He's the Dalton line for me in the NFL this year, and I'm really surprised.
And whose QB coach was he a year ago, Greg?
Geno Smith. I think they're missing Dave Canales for sure. I was thinking that. Like, they miss him. When I'm watching Baker
Canales
making these plays, did you mention that they officially announced that Tannehill's not getting this job back, that he is the backup this week?
Hope so.
For Tannehill, you know, that he said that was a hard pill to swallow, and he'll handle it. But it's the first time actually in his career where he's really been benched permanently for a young guy like that. I think he's turning 36 this offseason. Dan, I do want to point out, you gave Mark a lot of grief for how he handled Browns Ravens earlier.
Yes.
I'm going to give you
grief
a little bit of grief that you have one early game, two late games, and Mark now has three early games. So messed up.
We're not in concert. We're not in concert. But I actually, it's okay.
That was an oversight. I thought I had two early games.
We can sort it out after.
We'll
it's not the
out.
Listener's burden to bear.
It is not. I did like seeing Kalijah Kansi was back in the mix last week. Their first round pick, and he looked good.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll work that out. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I shouldn't have.
It's more than okay.
Podcast to a halt. I actually interplay. Hey, give all the old those.
I think you'll see that we don't need to do anything at all. We're absolutely fine.
It's all gonna work out.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
Can you promise me it's gonna be okay?
It's gonna be all right.
Levis showed me more, I think, in that second start than even the first. It wasn't all just like fires and rainbows. It was two-minute drills, like repeatable professional throws. He looks so comfortable, maybe too comfortable. Like Tannehill, he's going to get brutalized, I think, by taking some tough hits. But I think he showed more like, wow, this is going to stick plays against Pittsburgh even in the first game.
I agree. I thought the same thing, that the final score didn't reflect how he played, but that's a pretty
hyperbolic
take there. I mean, he was electric in
I get
in
it, but that's just not going to happen often, where you can throw four bombs a game to do something like he did last week. Especially those 2-minute drives were really, really impressive.
Yeah,
how he handled
it. I kind of viewed the Levis situation as he had the amazing debut, and then he was kind of in a really hard, tough spot on a short week in Pittsburgh. It was like, okay, just survive that. And now we get to see what he looks like with a little extra prep time against a defense where he could do some damage. So I think that's a good one. Finally, let's go to Germany. Do we have our Germany music? Germany music.
Is it the Gutekunst music? Or just,
Here is your strudel and your bratwurst and your beer.
This is the song that German citizens would pick for us, but okay.
It's got like a bit of a Oktoberfest feel. That's
yes,
in the ballpark.
The elements.
Well, speak for yourself. All right, the Indianapolis Colts are facing the New England Patriots. It's a 1.5-point spread in favor of the Colts. Rich Eyes and Jason McCourty on the call. Our Lady Dales on the sideline. Love that. Stacey Dales and Sarah job. Walsh, who I've not had the pleasure to meet, but probably a great woman as well. So good team there calling the game. As for the game itself, you get Gardner Minshew against Mac Jones. This is not, man, you think about the old days, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. And now
no different.
It's Gardner Minshew against Mac Jones. And, Greg, there is more drama around the Patriots. They are not taking this J.C. Jackson thing is not working out. You know, it's a big difference between, Greggy, the old Patriots, the good old days, and now. Is in the old days, they would trade for someone else's depressed asset, like J.C. Jackson. They'd bring him back, and he would play out of his mind immediately.
Yeah, Jamie Collins would come in and
yep.
suddenly be
Jamie different Collins, times. Yeah. Jack Jones would immediately, like, he would be, like, all pro. And the big difference, and this isn't a shot against Belichick, but it's more just a credit to Brady. Like, when Brady was there, there was an accountability and a level that you needed to meet to be a part of the Patriot way. And now all that's melted away, and all that's left is just like this middling team just grinding through an unsuccessful season. And when that happens, and trust me, I've been following teams for years that are like that. The Elijah Moores, for instance, they start to pop up, and you get like these people that aren't happy, don't feel like they're being treated well or playing enough, and they're not taking J.C. Jackson to Germany. And I don't know what's going on with Jack Jones, but there's just drama behind the scenes with his team on top of everything else.
It's a bad look. I mean, they had those back in the day, but they would just get rid of those guys.
Like, bye-bye.
Remember Adalius Thomas didn't drive to the practice in the snowstorm?
No, that was messed up. That was messed up.
I know, but like, he had a whole issue that whole year. But yeah,
there was for those of the younger listeners, or Adalius Thomas, there was a blizzard. Yeah. In the New England region, and because of the blizzard, he was snowed in, could not get to practice on time. And by the time he got to practice, really risking his life in the process, trying to get to the facility, what did Bill do?
I mean, he suspended him, I think. Finally suspended. I don't know if I don't think he cut him right there, but they didn't let him play in the game.
I mean, that was the rich hubris of the day back then. You could do that, and no one would question.
Right.
Certainly none of the.
And I won't even get into the guy that ran for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football, and then his iPhone didn't go off.
There was a leadership void there.
Yeah, I mean, because all the guys that he brought with him, Belichick and all the coaches and the GMs and everything he was so good at developing. It's like. They all left, and maybe they weren't good elsewhere, but he was good at developing them, and that sort of decayed. It's why I push back a little bit when it's the whole Brady Belichick thing. It's like, well, it was proven once and for all. First of all, of course, that Tom Brady is more valuable than the coach, but it's the two of them together
Brady.
That made him special. But I'm waiting for someone to ever point out that's like, well, this is the 70-year-old version of Belichick.
Oh, he's not you're going there.
Well, of course. Like, why would we just assume he's operating at the same level on all ways as he was before?
Sleepy Joe Biden.
No, I don't mean like in terms of game plans or prep and stuff like that. I don't really know. But in terms of everything, I think it's totally reasonable to believe that he was in his prime 20 years ago and maybe not.
Sure, I agree with that. But I think there's also like methodical choices that you have time to make as an organization. They've drafted 14 players on offense in the first 3 rounds since 2014. Where do they lack the most talent right now? All over their offense. They've taken 8 wide receivers since the year 2000 in the first 3 rounds. It's like
team that misses on second round receivers anymore.
But that's,
Thornton and Nikhil Harry, like first.
Like him being 70, I mean, I don't know. Like Pete Carroll is someone that we're crowing about left and right, and he seems rather ageless.
He's got a real front office. He's got a real partner.
But this isn't a decision that Belichick made. Belichick made this decision in Cleveland before he came to New England, how he wanted to grow a
front
office.
To me, that's the way he operates, that it's a one-man show, but he was very good at developing all the other people to help him. That is maybe a young man's game. I think they lose this game, by the way. They are a 1.5-point under. I do want to say to our German fans, thank you for listening, because when we've been pushing to try to go to Germany, and, you know, there's various reasons it's tough to pull off. And we're told, well, you know, there's not as much English spoken there. And that's true. I get it. It's not as much.
Where's Greg?
But I just brought up the latest podcast yesterday.
Yes.
We did the Colleen show.
Yes.
In Germany, you know, we give all the love to the UK listeners. Germany's here number 6 on the list. Over 1,000 listens in less than the last 24 hours just on that one episode. They're a little behind Ireland. Shout out to Australia, Canada, and the UK, who are a little ahead of them, but they're pretty high on that list. So we love you, Germany.
Does that count for fans that have already traveled ahead to Germany for the game?
No, it's most weeks. It's most weeks.
I guess don't kill the message there, but yeah.
So thank you.
Listen, if there are German listeners, you guys, that's the real.
Well, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Like 1,000.
I love it.
Greg likes Germany more than Mark and Dan. We understand the point. No, it's a global thing. Here's my one issue with the Patriots.
That says a lot.
We should talk about the Colts at some point.
I know, but if you're the Patriots, look what they're playing about Mac Jones during the game, which we didn't talk about Sunday night. This is concerning, I thought.
What?
Slightly.
So Ezekiel Elliott picks up 6. So Mac Jones.
Who's that guy?
Growing up down in Florida. He was
child
a
model.
Tennis player as well.
Oh, boy, they're going quick. Got the motion of DeMario Douglas. They give it to him on the fly sweep.
Well, we have an audio show.
It's mostly an audio show here.
Yeah, well, so it's, multiple glamour shots of child Mac Jones as a child model.
It explains a lot.
Not saying it's JonBenet Ramsey, but I just don't like the story there. So. Sorry, Greg, what were you saying?
JonBenet, I didn't think she would ever come up on this podcast, and yet here we are.
I said it's not like that, thankfully.
All right. Anything on the Colts? Jonathan Taylor looks like he's taken over that backfield. It took enough time. Now let's see if he could have a huge game in Germany. I kind of feel it could a breakout Taylor game. That's my prediction. 150 total yards and a touch.
He's been looking good. Their defensive line played well last week. Their defense had to dominate. Gardner Minshew's had a little bit diminishing returns,
It's been a mess.
Week after week.
Good backup.
The Patriots have a chance to win this game because their offensive line has been playing better. Certainly since they put Ueno out there, Mac Jones has been fine.
I think this line's in a good spot. 1.5 for the Colts, but
yeah,
kind of a coin flip. All right. There you go. That's everything. We've done it again.
And we will do it again.
And we will do it again.
Day.
Tonight, Greg with Mina. That's nice. Mina recently welcomed a daughter.
Baby boy.
Baby boy. So congratulations to Mina.
That's
and her.
Great.
Family, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm sure you guys will do great justice to an otherwise forgettable contest. But we got Mina, that's a big name, so you have to check out the Thursday Night Recap.
We'll get deep into the Ryan Poles Scott Fitterer trade from last year.
The Around the NFL on NFL Plus. Also, we have the Dreamatorium midseason award show, so you got to make sure you check that out. And yes. After Thursday Night Football, we'll see you Sunday night. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.